Here comes Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Truth, empowerment, and inspiration. If you're tired and done with news that has an agenda, politicians that seek only re-election, and a culture run amok, Carol Gold awakens you to what is and what's possible. And now, supporting you on the journey, honoring you in your choices, empowering you to be your highest self, and always lighting and leading the way. Here is Carol.
Hi, and welcome to Inspirational Gold. The number here is 858-777-8442. You can either type your questions into the chat room or you can call in. I welcome your comments, and I will do readings on air if anyone wants a private reading, sort of a private public reading, or let's say an individual reading. Before I started the show tonight, I had three decks of cards in front of me, and I pulled a card from one of them and asked what was the most important message to give. And the card was courage. It was from the Archangel deck, and it's the Archangel Ariel. And the message is to be courageous and stand up for your beliefs. And I smiled when I saw it because it's probably the most important message that I could have pulled given what I want to talk about tonight. I wrote a blog post today on AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, my website, with Steve Clark from the podcast that he and I do on Monday and Thursday evenings. We have that website, and we write to it regularly, both he and I, and we have very different approaches and different opinions of things. And today I wrote a blog post about Rachel Dozell. Rachel Dozell is the woman who was, until when, yesterday, or maybe it was even today, the head of the NAACP chapter, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, in Spokane, Washington. And as you probably know, she has spent literally a lifetime denying that she's Caucasian, denying that she's white. And instead, well, not a lifetime, because she's faded in and out of, no pun intended, she's faded in and out of either claiming she's white or claiming she's black. But for the majority of her adult life, she has been passing herself off as black, when in fact she's Caucasian. And the pictures that have emerged from her over the last few days clearly show that she is Caucasian, but that she has altered herself through tanning and through hair curling and through hair braiding and whatever else. And she went to an all-black college and actually sued them for discrimination against her for being white, of all things. So the reason that I wrote a blog post, because I wasn't going to write about this at all, this story has been front and center, but I wrote about the post because I happened to catch an excerpt of her interviewed this morning on the Today Show. And what she said in that excerpt caused me to write the blog post. And what she said was, when the interviewer asked her, when did she definitively make the call that she was going to be black from this point on? And by the way, she's black not because she was born black, but because she, quote, identifies with being black, end quote. Her answer to him was, it was when the adoption of my son became final. And when the adoption of my son became final, my son is black, and he said to me, you're my natural mom, I knew that would be a physical impossibility unless I totally identified with being black. And I listened to this interview, and I think of all the things she said, that grabbed me because I have an adopted child. I am Caucasian, and my daughter is Chinese. And never once did I ever feel that I had to fake anything about myself in order to have her feel loved or in order for her to feel that I was, in fact, her mother. In the blog post, which you can read again at AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, I said that I told my daughter from the time she was old enough to ask questions about her origin that she was doubly blessed, that she had a mother for birth and a mother for life. And that's how I've always looked at it. And I've never looked at her as anything other than a child that could have come out of my womb, because I feel about my daughter absolutely no distinction between the fact that she's an adopted child or she was my natural birth child. She's my child. End of discussion. Beginning and end of discussion. So why am I talking about this on Inspirational Gold when normally what I talk about here is the news from a higher perspective? So the reason that I chose to talk about it is the Rachel Dozel story, coming on the heels of the Bruce Jenner story, of living in a world now, living in a culture here in the United States where anything goes, where if you say it is so, it is so. If you Photoshop it and you silicone it and you tan it and you curl it, then it becomes real. This is a very interesting topic for an inspirational show and a spiritual show. Why? Because those of us on the spiritual path, those of us that have, quote, been in this business for quite some time, know that we are living through an incredible time of transition when, in fact, virtually anything is possible. And so we have to be very careful. When I say we, I mean all of us. Because while we understand that consciousness is expanding, and we understand that the possibilities of what can occur given the human mind and the human heart working in unison, after all, we can heal. We can heal without physicians, right? I'm not saying everything and everyone, but certainly some things and certain people and certain conditions we can heal through love and through light and the proper use and application of both of them. So miraculous things are possible. But at the same time that we are moving into an expanded consciousness and an altered reality, we have to realize that we still very much live in a 3D world in at least a portion of our existence. And in that portion of existence, in that 3D world, it isn't so that you can do the things that people are doing and abandon the definitions and the meanings of concepts that people are abandoning and changing willy-nilly. Every day something else means something else. Marriage isn't between a man and a woman. Black isn't black. It could be white if you identify with being white, or you could be white if you identify with being white and you're black. I mean, it gets confusing even to put it into words and communicate it to you. You can be Bruce Jenner one day and Caitlyn Jenner the next day. You can stand for feminism or advocate for feminism for 20 or 30 years. You can advocate that women not be sex objects. You can advocate that we not be judged by what we look like or how curvy or how voluptuous we are or how sexy we are. And then on a moment's notice, you can advocate for Bruce Jenner's courage in putting on a corset and putting himself on the cover of Vanity Fair to look, guess what? Sexy and seductive and voluptuous and all of those things. And you can be the same person who was advocating against all of that when it came to women, but suddenly advocating for that when it comes to a man who becomes a woman or tries to become a woman at age 69. So what you hear from me tonight is the fine line that we have to walk. And my concern for our culture is that in our quest and our eagerness and our love of all things spiritual and our desire to move into our next highest level of potential as humans, we can, as the expression goes, throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning we can be in such a hurry and, P.S., be so arrogant in our expanded consciousness to think that all bets are off and that boundaries don't matter and that there is no such thing as limitation and that definitions that have served humanity for thousands of years can be altered and transformed, actually, on a dime. in an instant. What I think that creates for us is difficulty in communicating. How do we communicate with one another when words don't mean what they appear to mean or what they used to mean, and when everybody has a different kind of word for a different kind of concept, and there's no general consensus? So one of the most ridiculous things that I've heard lately, and I only heard it recently, although when I did my homework and researched it, it goes back, I believe, to 2013, the creation of the word cisgender, C-I-S-G-E-N-D-E-R. Cisgender means that if you are born a male and you grow up to be a male and you think you're a male and you identify with your maleness, you're cisgendered. And the converse is true. If you're born a female and you grow up a female and you believe you're a female and you identify with being a female and you act and dress like a female, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you're cisgender. When I read the word and I looked it up, I thought to myself, isn't that what the word normal used to mean? Or isn't that what the word heterosexual used to also mean? I mean, what has happened to us that we need the word cisgender? Well, apparently what's happened to us is we developed a word called transgender, and in our I want to call it progressive rush to be equal, to make everything equal, we wanted an equal word to balance out transgender. And so creation, voila, of cisgender. To me, it's ludicrous. It's past the point of rationality or necessity. It's more political correctness. And where all this comes from, which a great many people, too many people, do not still understand, is that 100 years ago or more, the progressive movement, begun with Woodrow Wilson, knew how to move the country toward socialism, knew how to move the country toward, actually, ultimately, communism. And what it knew was that it needed a 100-year plan. It knew it couldn't do it overnight, but it knew it could do it by infiltrating the education system, the political system, the journalistic, the media, and government. And that's what has happened. And so one of the main signposts of progressivism is whenever a word or a phrase that is progressive takes on a negative connotation, they just change the word. They don't change the concept. And so global warming became climate change, became sustainable, what is it, sustainable environment, whatever. It doesn't matter. The same people, progressives, who in the 1960s were predicting the end of the world, the end of the world through an ice age by the 1980s, Paul Ehrlich and others like him are the same gurus of the climate change, global warming, sustainable development crowd. He got it wrong 30 years ago, and he's still the guy they're looking to. In fact, the New York Times just did an expose of how wrong he was, and yet he's still the go-to guy. Why? Because that's what progressives do. And what I caution you is that they're in the media, they're in government, they're in our educational system. They've completely co-opted the colleges in this country. The progressive movement, along with the Middle Eastern Arabic plan, as it were, to buy departments of universities so that they could slowly begin to teach anti-Semitism, to teach the principles of the Quran in universities. And now what we see all across the country is rabid anti-Semitism in our colleges and a pro-Palestinian movement, not based on fact, but based on hatred of Israel and a fiction around how the situation in the Middle East came to be created, what actually goes on in terms of conflict, and who are the willing partners, or are there willing partners, to resolve it in a truly peaceful way, recognizing the autonomy and the right to safety for both sides. The facts don't matter to progressives. And I'm doing this on my spiritual show and not on, and although I've also done it on Above the Fray podcast with Steve, I'm doing it tonight because I think those of us who are on the spiritual path can have a tendency to have that forward-looking kind of pie in the sky, 4D, 5D reality that we approach our vision of the world with. And while it is true and necessary and it is the future, we nonetheless also need to be rooted in the present so that we don't find ourselves floating off into oblivion on concepts that haven't yet had an opportunity to root in the culture, that haven't yet had an opportunity to become the norm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what Bruce Jenner did for Bruce Jenner. It's his free will. He gets to do what he wants. As long as he's not hurting me, I don't have to judge him. That's not my job. I can, however, have an opinion about what I think such decisions lead to for people. I can have an opinion on whether or not I think being gay is biological or psychological. I don't have to air that opinion on air. I don't have to come down on either side of that. I don't have to promote an agenda. I only have to raise the point that as long as we're not harming one another or someone else in the process, then free will allows us all of that choice. The problem with the Rachel Dozell story is she harms her, quote, child, who, by the way, was actually her stepbrother, I believe, and she adopted him as her child. The problem with Rachel Dozell is that she spent a lifetime lying and deceiving people. She didn't say, I'm white and I want to advocate for African Americans. She could have still been the head of the chapter of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP. My understanding is there are Caucasians in the NAACP, and there may even be Caucasians in administrative positions within the NAACP. She didn't do that. She lied about who she was. She lied about her identity. She taught her, quote, son that lying is okay to get what you want and to get where you want. And so then there is harm. There is harm. Deceit always causes harm. So when we claim to be on a spiritual path, when we are advocating for a minority or a suppressed or an oppressed people, we have to be of the highest integrity, or else we compromise that which we advocate for. Because whenever someone is in a position of power and they're deceitful, when that is revealed, whatever it is they were standing for is harmed in the process, takes on the taint of their deception, and it calls away, it draws away from the importance of what could have been done and from the goodness of what could have been done, and it sets the movement or the organization or the cause back. That's what's wrong with what Rachel Dozell did. I don't judge what Bruce Jenner did in terms of his gender. I judge his wisdom, I'll gladly say that, on how he promoted it and what he used it for. And I thought he had a great deal of ego in what he was doing because he could have done what he did and kept it private. But he wanted himself on the cover of Vanity Fair, and he wants a multi-million dollar reality show because there's a huge ego component and a huge greed component and a huge need for fame in what he's doing. He may also have a genuine need to be a woman, to act out being a woman, but there's no denying he's hot on marketing it to the max for both fame and financial gain. And I think, again, and to use a word that is ironic, it prostitutes what it is he's trying to do, in my opinion. I don't, however, judge his making that decision to make that biological, if it is biological, or that psychological or that emotional call for himself. He hurts no one when he makes that decision. The changes that are happening will happen to his own body and to his own psyche. So I guess that's my overall message for tonight's show. It's, yes, have the courage of your convictions, but first and foremost, make sure you have convictions and make sure you've checked in with those convictions and asked yourself, as you've matured and grown, have your convictions matured and grown? Do you have principles and values that are meaningful to you? Do you have definitions that are complete for you? Do you have things that you are proud to live for? And do you have things that you are ready to die for? Because in a world of ISIS, in a world of open borders, in a world of Holocaust slaughter against Christians in the Middle East and moderate Muslims in the Middle East and anyone who won't bow to Sharia, in the midst of an open border where drug trafficking is, you know, it's as common as McDonald's locations are across this country, in a world where so much has been denigrated and so much negativity has been allowed to prosper, to grow and prosper, it is incumbent upon those of us who are awake to reevaluate what we believe in and to be ready to stand for what we believe in. You know, I've used this reference on several shows lately because I think it's one of the most profound and instructive and inspiring things I've heard in a very long time. And it happened when talk radio host Glenn Beck went to Auschwitz a year or two ago with his wife and a survivor, the child of a couple who died in Auschwitz. And while he was there, he spoke with a woman, a Polish woman, who lived on the perimeter of Auschwitz in one of the towns around, surrounding Auschwitz. And she had fed and housed and hidden from the Nazis Jews during the Holocaust. And Glenn Beck said to her, "When did you become righteous? When in the middle of all of that did you how did you become righteous? You and the others who stepped up and did the right thing." And her response was, "The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. We just refused to go over the cliff with everybody else." We're living in a time when there are many cliffs, and we have to be very vigilant that we don't go over them in our zeal to move forward. There are paths that are open to all of us, and they are paths to higher consciousness. They are paths to our greater humanity. They are paths to our individual creativity. They are ultimately paths to our oneness. But there are other paths because there's always free will and choice is always the definitive factor. Those other paths start out looking the same, but they suddenly end. And if you're moving too fast and you don't have boundaries of your own, you can find yourself having gone over the cliff, especially if you were following the crowd in front of you. So please, as a spiritual being here for a specific purpose, please check your values, check your principles, reestablish your boundaries, know where they are, and then move forward for the highest good of yourself and the highest good of all of those with whom you interact. And I promise you, if you do that, you will carry on the torch of some very great human beings who have walked this earth. Jesus, Moses, Gandhi, Joan of Arc, Mother Teresa. There are people who have shown us the way. Let's look for the roads that have the arrows pointing in those directions. And let us remember that there are more than one, there's more than one way to get to God. Allow everyone their own way as long as they do no harm to themselves or anyone else. I thank you for coming here and listening to Inspirational Gold. I'm Carol Gold. I'm here also on Monday and Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Central, along with Steve Clark, on Blog Talk Radio, doing Above the Fray podcast. All of our episodes, as well as mine, are available through either Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. And check out our Facebook page, Above the Fray Podcast. Check out our website, Above the Fray Podcast, where our episodes are also archived. And you can read on a daily basis our blogs that address social and global issues. Again, I'm Carol Gold. You've been listening to Inspirational Gold. Have a great week, everyone. I'll be back again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Please check out Carol's blog on her website at www.carolgold.com. You can email her at contact@carolgold.com. Carol can also be heard Fridays at 10 a.m. Central on Above the Fray podcast with co-host Steve Clark. Please visit Carol's fan page on Facebook at Above the Fray Podcast and follow her on Twitter at Carol Gold Now. It's great having you be a part of creating a better world. Until we're all back together again,
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.